Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, the number one to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, marijuana. Is marijuana helpful or harmful or both? We have heard it's all natural from the earth. It's an herb of the field. It's safe. It has medicinal properties. Most of these things may be true. Safe is relative to what you're using, how much you are using, what conditions you are using under, and some other stuff, right? We know they have some weed that will make you act like Smokey on the show Ice Cube on Friday. I don't know if y'all seen that or not. Kind of old now, but the scene in there with Chris Tucker smoke some weed with these Latino brothers and he wakes up in his pigeon coop. Anyway, for the sake of argument, let's assume we're talking about non-treated weed, no formaldehyde, and, you know, whatever, insecticide, nothing like that sprayed on it, you know. Not treated weed. If there's a such thing of as just that type of marijuana, I don't even know. I don't have boots on the ground, so I wouldn't know. I don't grow, treat marijuana, sell it, or nothing like that. So I'm just going to say for the conversation, we're just talking about weed. Just it grew out of the ground, and that weed right there. We ain't do nothing to it. Right? So marijuana, college dictionary. Guess everybody probably knows what marijuana is. A drug which is made from the dried leaves and flowers of the hemp plant, which can be smoked. You know, they make brownies, they eat it, you know, also, right? Put it in your food, right? I guess if you're bold enough, you can just chew it up without putting it in food, right? So with all this marijuana smoking, I thought, absent the additives that may be found in marijuana, is it safe, relatively safe, unsafe, very unsafe to use or be exposed to secondhand smoke? A study in 2015 concluded that THC would be present if exposed to secondhand smoke if the person was in an unventilated room with people smoking for, you know, a certain length of time. So you got to be like in conditions which, you know, most of the time we're not in if we don't want to be around marijuana smoke. So just the average person that doesn't want to be around that is not likely to be in a room with no ventilation while you guys, that's like guys coming in the bedroom, you're just hanging out with your brothers and his friends smoking weed, but you don't smoke. So he said that THC would show up in your blood test, right, for that, those conditions. But it wouldn't be as much as the guys that's actually smoking, right? Anyway, I heard marijuana stays in your hair for a long time. That if you smoke it, right? So from usdrugtestcenters.com, they said you can. They said, can you fail a drug test from secondhand smoke? They said, if you've been around drug users without actually using any yourself, rest assured, you will very likely pass the hair follicle drug test, right? Secondhand smoke involves something called passive exposure. This means that marijuana, as an example, you're not actually inhaling the amount of THC, right? The active component in marijuana that gets you high from the source. So you're not getting it directly from the source, so there's not enough of it going into your bloodstream from smoking it, your lungs and stuff like that, for it to show up in your hair follicle, because they do that at the root of the hair follicle. That test. The amount of THC in secondhand smoke is minimal, they say. About 100 times less potent than the amount of THC you get from active exposure, toting. So whoever's toting, they get the most of it. I think I read something where it said only after you burn it, it's only like 50% of it available, which, it says something about putting it in your food. Raw, I guess. Anyway, that was a thought that just came up. Anyway, even in studies where participants were put in confined areas with marijuana smoke, they didn't test positive, right? because I know that a lot of people talk about the contact. Well, this is only testing positive anyway, and that it's really they really didn't really say anything about that I came up with about getting that contact high, because it's maybe less, but who knows? You might get contact. You might feel a little funny, a little different, because you got a little bit of THC. You know, like my friend said, everybody respond different to it. You would need to be in a very tight space with extremely excessive amounts of marijuana smoke for it to show up on a drug test, they say. So showing up with a drug test is not the same as you getting a contact. All right? John Hopkins, 2015 study, that's the study I'm referring to, said extreme exposure to secondhand cannabis smoke causes mild intoxication. That's what we were talking about, right? Non-smokers sharing an unvented area with heavy marijuana smokers in some cases may not have passed the drug screen, right? But there is, it causes mild intoxication, right? So from the CDC, the good old CDC, I'm not sure everybody knows what the CDC is since this COVID thing. Center for Disease and Control, right? Talking about marijuana. Breathing marijuana smoke can also be bad for you and your baby. Secondhand marijuana smoke contains many of the same toxic and cancer-causing chemicals found in tobacco. The other smoke, right? THC, the psychoactive or mind-altering compound in marijuana, may also be passed to infants through secondhand smoke. So there's something to this secondhand smoke thing. What I didn't get is how, you know, well, they eventually did say that it can give you a mild high. That's the contact people be talking about, right? But you got to be careful smoking around your children or other people smoking around your children, right? Pediatric environmental health, especially youth, children can also experience the same effects as adults, such as bloodshot eyes, increased appetite, dry mouth, and decreased coordination. Significant exposures can lead to severe hyperactive behaviors, slowed breathing, and even coma. Health effects of marijuana can last 24 to 36 hours in children. That's very important for you people who think that marijuana smoke is not harmful, particularly to your children. These guys know more than me, which is not hard to do, but they say it is. Do your own research. I've heard marijuana, THC, CBD have proven to be effective in addressing some medical, and mental health issues, though. Because I heard some good things about marijuana. I've been hearing that. So I went to the National City Center for Integrative Health. They talked about cannabis, marijuana, and cannabinoids, right? What you need to know. Is marijuana the same thing as cannabis? People often use the words cannabis and marijuana interchangeably, right? But they don't mean exactly the same thing, right? The word cannabis refers to all products derived from plant cannabis stevia, right? Stevia. The cannabis plant contains about 540 chemical substances. That's a lot. The word marijuana refers to parts of or products from the plant cannabis stevia, right? S-A-T-I-V-A. That contain substantial amounts of THC, right? And tetrahydrocannabinol. That's THC, and I won't be saying that, trying to say that word again. THC is a substance that's primarily responsible for the effects of marijuana on a person's mental state. All right? That's when you get high. That's the get high thing right there. Some cannabis plants contain very little THC. So I guess that's what you call bad weed, poor weed. Under U.S. law, these plants are considered industrial hemp rather than marijuana. Cannabinoids are a group of substances found in cannabis plants. The main cannabinoids are THC and cannabinoidal CBD. Besides THC and CBD, there are more than 100 other cannabinoids have been identified, right? The FDA, the good old FDA, remember them during the COVID too, right? Has not approved the cannabis plant for any medical use. However, at the time this article was written anyway, I don't even know what they have recently or not. However, the FDA has approved several drugs that contain individual cannabinoids. Epidiolex, which contains purified form of CBD derived from cannabis, approved for treatment in seizures associated with Lennox-Gastaut syndrome and Dravet syndrome, two rare forms of epilepsy. Marinol and Syndros, which contains synthetic THC, and C-Cement, right, which contains a synthetic substance similar to THC, approved by the FDA. Dronabinol and Nabilone, N-A-B-I-L-O-N-E, are used to treat nausea and vomiting caused for people who have cancer, chemotherapy, right? And loss of appetite and weight loss in people with HIV and AIDS, right? So there are some uses. Those seem to be medical uses, but it's interesting that the good old FDA has not approved of those things. Drugs containing the cannabinoids may be helpful in treating certain rare forms of epilepsy, nausea, and vomiting associated with cancer, chemotherapy, and AIDS, right? Loss of appetite and weight loss associated with HIV and AIDS. Also, chronic pain, multiple sclerosis symptoms. They say cannabis isn't helpful for glaucoma. Now, I know some people have said that, you know, it's good for glaucoma. These guys say it's not. And you'll see some of the findings are inconsistent, as you'll see throughout the show. Do your own research. You'll see yourself. So they said, you know, these are following sections summarize the research on cannabis or cannabinoids for specific health conditions. So they're doing research on like pain, as I just mentioned, helping to decrease opioid use. You know, people you on heroin, try to wean you off of heroin with this weed, I guess, or the cannabis. I'm not sure if they're smoking marijuana or they're just using the THC or the CBD. But anxiety, epilepsy, glaucoma, even though they said it's not helpful for glaucoma, they're still working on AIDS. So that's the inflammatory bowel disease, irritable bowel syndrome, or movement disorder due to Tourette syndrome, multiple sclerosis, nausea and vomiting related to chemotherapy, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, right? Soldiers come back, you know, from war, or just people from the war right here in the hood, you understand, or in their homes, right? Sleep problems. Johnson & Wales University, cannabis is a historic, multi-dimensional, and sometimes controversial plant. Yeah. It's versatile and usefulness have propelled cannabis into all kinds of industries and products, especially in the medical field. That's interesting because they said the FDA must have approved it because it's in the medical field. So at the time, maybe that article was written, it wasn't approved by the FDA. The FDA is now on board with approving cannabis plant for any medical use, but the FDA announced approval of a Comirnaty COVID-19 vaccine. That's an mRNA vaccine for active immunization to prevent COVID-19 in individuals ages 12 to 15 years of age. At least very interesting. This is strange because the mRNA vaccines do not prevent infection. So that was the story I got. So I went to the tablet. They said vaccines never prevented the transmission of COVID-19. During December 10, 2020, Food and Drug Administration, good old FDA, right, meeting when the first mRNA vaccines were authorized. FDA advisor Dr. Patrick Moore stated, Pfizer has presented no evidence in its data today that the vaccine has any effect on the virus. That's woo. That's any effect. That's strange right there. Which is the fundamental basis of the herd immunity. Remember telling everybody, get the shot. We develop this herd immunity. We get anywhere from 80 to 90%, something like that. People vaccinated. The virus won't have anywhere to go. It'll just die out, right? National Institute of Health, National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health says drugs containing cannabinoids may be helpful in treating certain rare forms of epilepsy, nausea, and vomiting associated with cancer, chemotherapy, loss of appetite, weight loss associated with HIV and AIDS. So just reading all these different agencies that are saying it. So you don't, you can see there people who are saying the same thing. And then you're going to see what people say something different when I get there. They talk about how can cannabis be used to help. So this is the plus side of cannabis use, right? There's no doubt that CBD has become quite popular and has generated a new industry. You can even earn a degree in cannabis entrepreneurship. I'm going to say that one more time. You can earn a degree in cannabis entrepreneurship. It's sparking a new industry. Usually the best time to get into an industry is in its infancy, right? Researchers are still working to understand how effectively CBD can be used for medical purposes. Maybe that's why the FDA didn't approve of it. So it sounds like the weed CBD THC industry is about to blow up like a nuclear bomb, as we know. Cash rules everything around, right? Around them, right? So that's going to blow up. Let's talk about an industry here, right? Here are seven ways that CBD has been proven to benefit health. This is proven. So it's like facts, right? This actually went down. Lowering blood pressure. You guys got high blood pressure. 2017, they found that it lowered blood pressure of human participants, reducing inflammation, right? This is CBD. You don't have to smoke joint or blunt to get it. You can get CBD. I just want you to know it's the difference between CBD and actually smoking a joint, even though CBD is one of the ingredients in the, you know, when you smoke marijuana. But you can actually get CBD by itself, right? And that doesn't have as much THC in it, if any. Some of the little to no THC in it, they say. I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but I'm gonna take these guys' words for that because they said it. And they are the professionals. Till I find something different. Anyway, CBD proven to help reduce inflammation and the neuropathic pain it can cause, right? A study by the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research. Woo, the Rockefeller Institute. I know it's another story about them and talked about in the medical field. These guys, the Rockefeller, Mr. Rockefeller, actually. Anyway, preventing relapse in drug and alcohol addiction, as we talked about, right? That's 2018. This is all new stuff. That's why I guess generated a new industry, because the company, this is a new finding. I guess they've been working on this for a bit. Drug and alcohol addiction. CBD reduced stress-induced cravings, anxiety, lack of impulse control that often cause people to relapse. Treating anxiety disorders. Anxiety is perhaps the most common affliction that people have used for CBD. Okay, so it's effective in treating generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. All right, that's it. So I know I see it on YouTube, guys from Chirac, Chicago. Those guys smoke a lot of weed. They're interviewing them. They smoking up a lot of, they rolling the blunt, passing it around, drinking, and, you know, so you guys do a lot of, I'm assuming they have a lot of stress related to the homicides they are and the shootings and, you know, that they've been constantly exposed to there in Chicago. So we have that in Philadelphia also. These guys seem to be are famous. Talk about O Block and the BDs and the GBDs or something like that. They fighting each other, like right neighborhoods right next to each other. Anyway, treating gastrointestinal disorders, GI disorders. So they say cannabinoids are effective to prevent and treat GI disorders such as irritable bowel syndrome, right? IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and more. It's an anti-inflammatory properties help reduce and preventing the symptoms. Preventing seizures, the same thing other people are saying, because I guess this really works. CBD to treat epilepsy and other seizure syndromes. Reducing symptoms and seizure frequency. So fighting cancer. Of course, that's after you get cancer. We would like to something that prevent, but you take what you can get, right? Alleviate the effects of chemotherapy. So that's not fighting cancer. That's fighting chemotherapy. That's more like fighting chemotherapy than it is fighting cancer. Studies found it prevents the cell growth and induce cell death in cervical cancer cell lines. So that's fighting cancer. Numerous anti-cancer effects help prevent a variety of cancers. It treats tumors and benefit the immune system. So far, so good as medicinal purposes go. Because those are seven. And I'm not saying that those are the only things, only purposes or anything like that. Those just seven in that article that was covered. So there you have seven uses for CBD. Not saying substitutes for smoking weed. CBD, as said, is one of the two major ingredients in marijuana. One is CBD and one is THC. I wonder why, if there's 100 other ones, how do you know that the rest of them aren't, you know, just as important as these two? They must have singled that. I don't know how they singled that out like that, but it's interesting. From Harvard Health Publishing, marijuana is currently legal on a state level in 29 states and in Washington, D.C. As you know, it's not a state, right? That's the District of Columbia, right? It is still illegal from the federal government's perspective. How does that work? I say about 85% of Americans support legalizing medical marijuana, and it is estimated that at least several million Americans currently use it. Marijuana on without the high, right? This is a CBD, right? The extract from the hemp plant, known as CBD, which stands for cannabidiol, right? Because it's this component of marijuana has little, if any, intoxicating properties. Marijuana itself has more than 100 active. Makes me keep thinking, why are they focused on CBD and THC? So then THC is a chemical that causes the high, right? That goes along with marijuana consumption. CBD dominant strains have little to no THC. So patients report very little, if any, alteration in consciousness. Patients do, however, report many benefits of CBD, from relieving insomnia, anxiety, spasticity, I don't even know what that is, and pain, to treating potentially life-threatening conditions such as epilepsy. Childhood epilepsy, called Dravet syndrome, is almost impossible to control, but responds dramatically to CBD dominant strain of marijuana called Charlotte's Web. That's a children's story. Excuse me. Uses of marijuana, right? Most common for marijuana in the United States is pain control. It's effective for chronic pain that plagues millions of Americans, right? That's a lot of weeds. Everything is millions of people. Just imagine all the money you can make if you are in the business. Because you got to grow that plant, take the CBD and the THC out of it. You know, just think who's ever doing that when this thing catches on and starts replacing, as they say, it's safer than opiates. Because it's you can OD on opiate, right? And it's less addictive. It can take the place of NSAIDs, right? Those are the Advils and stuff like that. If people can't take them due to problems with their kidneys or ulcers, right? So that's very interesting. Because maybe that's where they're headed at. But it's interesting because I think that that would create a war. Trying to, you know, maybe Advil is trying to switch over to the CBD. I don't know. We'll look for that. Let's take a look. You know how these people work. You know, sometimes things don't happen until they control it. So look and see if these pain relieving people are in control of some of these up and coming marijuana, THC, CBD industries. Then you'll know why you might start seeing CBD being more readily recommended than even Advil or Aleve, which is, that's the main thing. People just ask for those things, right? In particular, marijuana appears to ease the pain of multiple sclerosis, nerve pain. So this is, all these people are confirming that this marijuana is good for you. CBD. THC, seems like mostly it's CBD that's working out and as far as the medical thing is concerned. See, THC, not sure. PTSD, calm me down. This one says it can be used to treat glaucoma. Like I said, it's not consistent. All the studies aren't consistent. And I'm thinking that happens in science. For whatever reason, the process that happened occurred when they were doing this study. Not going to even get into that because it's not what we're talking about tonight, right? But, you know, things happen. Marijuana is also used to manage nausea and weight loss. So Everything they said previously, these guys are saying the same thing. They're supporting each other, basically, except for everything except for the glaucoma. CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They said the fact that marijuana is legal in some states for medical or non-medical adult use does not mean that it is safe. That's the CDC, right? I know who the CDC is. I'm thinking more people know about the CDC for COVID. I'm thinking. I hope anyway, because that was a big deal during COVID. So they saying, hey, that don't mean it's safe just because some states allow it, right? Using marijuana at any age can lead to negative health consequences. Using marijuana heavily, daily or near daily, can damage your memory, attention, and learning ability. That made me think right there. Alcohol is not safe and has no redeeming medical value today, and it is being sold everywhere. Can we rely on the FDA to keep us safe, or should we use what the Creator has given us to perpetuate our survival, our brains? Speaking of brains, I heard someone say marijuana increased their ability to function mentally, directly. Wouldn't that mean that every weed-smoking student would be on the dean's list or near it? All we had to do was give each student a blunt and no child would be left behind? Is that what he's saying? Throw that in there. Because here these guys are saying daily uses can damage your memory, attention, and learning ability. And this is where we have some conflicting results on some of these studies. And I was talking to my friend earlier today about marijuana. Talking about it affects people differently. I'm thinking, could it be possible that marijuana affects some people this way? Damage your memory, attention, and learning ability, and maybe with somebody else, heightens memory, attention, and learning ability. Is that possible? Or is there some scientific error at hand here? The American Lung Association. They say marijuana smoke. Now, I guess we're getting into the negative about marijuana smoke. Marijuana smoke is harmful to lung health, right? That's how you breathe, right? Toxins and carcinogens are released from the combustion of materials, right? Smoke from marijuana combustion has been shown to contain many of the same toxins, irritants, and carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, right, entities or ingredients, as tobacco smoke. You know, you buy a pack of cigarettes, it basically tells you cause cancer, right? So smoke at your own risk, right? So they're saying marijuana burning. Marijuana, we're not just talking about the CBD here. We're talking about that leaf, that weed. You burn that, is you are exposing yourself, people around you, to these carcinogens, right? Irritants. Marijuana smokers tend to inhale more deeply and hold their breath longer than cigarette smokers. I've seen a cigarette smoker hold their breath, like inhale and talk, then blow some smoke out after that. I've seen both people do that. Anyway, they inhale, they say, longer and deeper than cigarette smokers, and have a which leads to a greater exposure to tar, right? Per breath to tar. So every time you do that, you increase your exposure to tar, right? Secondhand marijuana smoke contains many of the same toxins and carcinogens found indirectly inhaled marijuana smoke in similar amounts, if not more. To me, this is part of a contradiction right here, because they talk about how, you know, secondhand smoke has less of the THC, but it has the carcinogens found directly in inhaled marijuana. So maybe these are two different things, apples and oranges, and that's why it's written like this. We're talking about carcinogens here, and maybe they survive better than THC does. Carcinogens are probably produced by the burning, and THC is, you only get 50%, I think I read somewhere, when you burn it. So if you got 100% THC, you burn that joint, you only get like 50 of that. So I might want to think about smoking a joint, lighting that joint up. You might want to chew it. I don't know. And similar amounts are not more, right? While there is no data on health consequences of breathing secondhand marijuana smoke, he just said there's no data on it. This thing, as usual, when you look at different sources, you know, it can be confusing. But there is concern that it could cause harmful health effects, especially among vulnerable children. Really. Lung health and marijuana smoke. Smoking marijuana clearly damages the human lung. Smoking marijuana clearly damages the human lung. I don't think we need to be scientists to figure that out, though. It causes chronic bronchitis. Marijuana smoke has been shown to injure the cell linings of the lung airways. All right, which could explain why smoking marijuana leads to symptoms such as chronic cough, phlegm production, wheeze, and acute bronchitis. Smoking marijuana has also been linked to causes of air pockets in between both lungs and between the lungs and the chest wall, as well as large air bubbles in the lungs among young to middle-aged adults. Mostly heavy smokers of marijuana. Okay, if you lighten it up, this is very, very important right here. You know somebody's lighting it up. And we have no reason not to be aware of these issues with smoking marijuana, because we all have access to information. We have no excuse for not knowing. However, I say it's not possible to establish whether these occur more frequently among marijuana smokers than the general population. They say also, smoking marijuana can harm more than just the lungs and the respiratory system. It can also affect the immune system and the body's ability to fight disease. So you compromise your immune system, which, believe it or not, you're probably doing 1,000 other things that do so also if you're not actually looking out for what you put in your body, especially for those who have immune systems that are already weakened from immunosuppressive drugs or diseases such as HIV infection, right? So that's scary right there, because your immune system, that's how your body takes care of itself, right? Fighting off diseases that you might not even know you have in you because your immune system took care of it. But here you might be more susceptible to disease because you have weakened your own immune system in an effort to maybe deal with whatever stressful thing you might be experiencing. But you're going to be stressed out more when your immune system cannot fight off disease and infection. Because if you're stressed off, just imagine not being able to fight off disease. It also suppresses the immune system, right? And it It increases the risk of lower respiratory tract infections, right? So you can get sick. What I was just talking about, frequent marijuana-only smokers have more health care visits for respiratory conditions compared to non-smokers. All right, so this thing we call weed, marijuana, I don't know what kind of names they got for right now. Maybe Janie's called back in the day. Whatever. Pay attention. And I'm just talking, we just talking about weed. I don't know if these guys are talking about the stuff, some of the stuff they sell on the street or not. But sounds like they just talking about marijuana. And it's, you know, they ain't talking about stuff that somebody put some, sprayed it with Raid, let it sit in the bathtub for a minute, and sold it to you. Looks like they're talking about CBD and THC and those other 100, 500 other things they found in marijuana. Studies have shown that smoking marijuana may increase the risk of opportunistic infections among those who are HIV positive. See? There's something in my eye here. Another potential threat is to those with weakened immune system is Aspergillus, a mold that can cause lung disorders. That sounds rare, but hell, you don't want to be the one to catch the rare disease. It can grow on marijuana. When smoked, this exposes the lungs to the fungus. They said it rarely causes problems in people with healthy immune systems. Okay, so, you know, keep your immune system healthy, you know, eat fruits and vegetables, drink plenty of water, make sure you eliminate daily or regularly. When you eat, things like that, that helps keep your immune system, which a lot of it's in your gut. Guess we should have a show on that, but, you know, just eliminate and watch what you put in, because everything doesn't come out just because you put it in there. Sometimes things clog you up because you probably shouldn't be putting it in your body. All right, so, you know, this thing called vaping. So this thing apparently is pretty dangerous. It says little known on the potential lung effects of inhaling marijuana or products made from it through routes other than smoking. However, they say, the use of vape pens to inhale cannabis concentrates or liquids may have similar respiratory health effects as the e-cigarette use. Now, I heard that e-cigarette was bad as your mom was to smoke cigarette. Dabbing, inhaling flash, vaporized cannabis concentrates may also cause respiratory problems. You could just figure that out for yourself. I don't think this is news other than that it's a little more specific. But I don't think it takes a genius or a scientist to figure out you smoke something, a chemical you put into your lungs other than air. Not anything used to help you, you know, it's going to probably cause some harm. It's not rocket science. I'm not discovering anything. Then you got this thing called medical marijuana. As we just talked about, medicinal purposes, uses, that, you know, the seven things that they, hey, it's what it helps. I think that was CBD, right? We said, bottom line, smoking marijuana clearly damaged the human lung. All right? Which leads to bronchitis. You can't breathe with bronchitis. Right? That's like asthma. It's a form of kind of lung disorder. Caused immune-compromised person to be more susceptible to lung infections. So, I think it's safe to say smoking marijuana, not good. No one should be exposed to secondhand marijuana smoke. Due to the risk it poses to lung health, the American Lung Association strongly cautions the public against smoking marijuana as well as tobacco products. That's from the American, I'm going to second that. The American Lung Association strongly cautions the public, that's us, you, we, against smoking marijuana. That's a no-brainer. If you choose to smoke, just know the dangers that you are indulging in. Remember that the same toxins and carcinogens found indirectly inhaled marijuana smoke are similar in amounts of secondhand smoke, if not more. So they say, they're talking about toxins and carcinogens. They didn't talk about THC. So back to the CDC. Health problems caused by secondhand smoke. What? But they said they didn't. Remember they said that it's 100 times less. So if you're getting 100 times less THC, right? Got to say like, well, damn, how you getting a health problem? I got 100, it's 100 times less. From the CDC, the Center for Disease and Control, right? They say in children, secondhand smoke exposure can cause respiratory infections, ear infections, asthma attacks, and babies. Secondhand smoke can cause sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. Since 1964, about 2,005 people who did not smoke died from health problems caused by secondhand smoke exposure. That's tobacco. If marijuana smoke has all or many of the toxins of cigarette smoke, they should have the same or similar consequences, right? Just keep that in mind. It doesn't take a scientist to figure some of this stuff out. The National Institute on Drug Abuse talked about marijuana being seeds, stems, flowers, leaves from the cannabis stevia plant, right? It's one of the most used drugs in the United States, and its use is widespread among young people. Seems that way. I don't travel all over the world, the United States, but man, I smell marijuana in some places. The marijuana should not be smelled. And I'm going to leave it at that. 2021, 35.4% of young adults aged 18 to 25, 11.8 million people reported using marijuana in their past year, in the past year. 2022, 30.7% of 12th graders reported using marijuana in the past year. And 6.3% reported using marijuana daily. In addition, many young people also use vaping devices to consume cannabis products. 2022, nearly 20.6% of 12th graders reported they vaped marijuana in the past year. And 2.1% reported that they did so daily. The legalization of marijuana for medical use or adult recreational use is a growing number, and a growing number of states may affect these views, right? So we're basically saying once this thing becomes legal, all that, what it does to you is harmful, like alcohol addiction, withdrawal. They say it's worse than heroin withdrawal, yet alcohol sold everywhere. But if a guy out there selling heroin, he getting locked up right away. Even though they said there's no, I had went to a workshop, said there's no heroin, at least in Philadelphia since 2016. It's all fentanyl traced with Trank. So I think that's some kind of horse animal tranquilizer or something. So not trying to scare anybody. All I'm trying to is give you some facts. Because I'm giving you both sides. I'm not talking, I'm not speaking against, just against or just for marijuana or THC or CBD. I'm trying to give you a broad spectrum of the use and what the experts are saying. I hope they're experts, are saying about the use of this drug. Because I kind of know what the non-experts are saying. Marijuana affect the brain, because they're talking about us all this stuff about this marijuana. How does it affect the brain? Remember they talked about, you know, some people say it makes them think, you know, had a conversation today, helps them, you know, they think better, they clearer, you know, their mind works better. So THC quickly passes from the lungs into the bloodstream. The bloodstream carries chemical to the brain and other organs throughout the body. So THC is going out throughout your whole body. It absorbs the THC more slowly when a person eats or drinks it. In that case, they generally feel the effects 30 minutes to an hour. That's very important to remember, you guys. Who, I don't know if anybody even listening that does that, but remember that if you eating it, you don't need to load up, because it's going to happen in about 30 minutes. You're going to feel effects of it. It's just a little slower. It's not that you build up, you have a tolerance or anything like that. Could be that you're just not patient, right? Not trying to tell people how to use it. These guys are saying it. THC acts on specific brain cell receptors that ordinarily react to natural THC-like chemicals, right? So apparently your body produces a chemical that behaves like THC. Marijuana activates part of the brain that contain the highest number of these receptors, right? This causes the high that people feel. Other effects include altered senses, seeing brighter colors, altered sense of time, changes in mood, impaired body movement, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, impaired memory. Hallucinations when taken in high doses. Delusions taken in high doses. Psychosis risk is highest with regular use of high potency marijuana. So if you got that good stuff, according to this article, that's where you're headed. Long-term effects. Marijuana also affects brain development. Term effects. Marijuana also affects brain development. When people begin using marijuana as teenagers, the drug may impair thinking, memory, and learning functions and affect how the brain builds connections between the areas necessary for these functions. Researchers are studying how long-term marijuana effects last, and whether some changes may be permanent. That is very important when you start looking at, let's just take a look at school-age children that use marijuana a lot, right? Imagine a class of children in school whose thinking is impaired. Memory is impaired. Learning function is impaired, right? How do we expect them to pass, to to move on to the next grade, hell, to move to the next class. They said they had a little experiment, I guess, a study in New Zealand that people who started smoking marijuana heavily in their teens had an ongoing marijuana use disorder, lost the average of 8 IQ points between ages 13 and 38, right? Another study with some twins used marijuana, showed a significant decline in general knowledge and the verbal ability equivalent to 4 IQ points between the preteen years and early adulthood, but no predictable difference was found between twins when the one used marijuana and the other didn't. This suggests that the IQ decline in marijuana users may be caused by something other than the marijuana, such as shared familiar factors, genetics, family environment, right? NIDAs, adolescent brain cognitive development study. A major longitudinal study is tracking a large sample of young Americans from late childhood to early adulthood to help clarify how to what extent marijuana and other substances alone and in combination affect adolescent brain development. Okay, I guess that's going to come out. But you don't have to wait for that, because I already said that this thing's messing with your lungs. You know it's going to mess with your brain development. They just said that. Altering your brain, mind. So if you're not able to function at a higher level in your use with marijuana, whatever you're masking with that is hurting you in terms of your brain function. How does that work for you? How do you move forward, say, in an education setting? Or even in an employment setting, how do you work if your mind is, are we thinking that we are better impaired than not? Because I think not. The rise in marijuana THC levels. The amount of THC in marijuana has been increasing steadily over the past few decades. So they saying 40 years ago, the weed wasn't as strong as it is now. And they just talking about the THC. They ain't talking about the raid and the bombing fluid they put on it. They talking about THC. So they must find a way in these industries, this marijuana industry, scientists working to grow greater marijuana, more stronger marijuana plants with more THC in it, right, than knock you off your feet, right? For a person who's new to marijuana use, this may mean exposure to higher THC levels with a greater chance of a harmful reaction. Higher THC levels may explain the rise in emergency room visits involving marijuana use. I heard this story from Cat Williams, who himself, I guess he claimed to be a weed head, and he's smoking with Snoop Dogg, who is, he must be like a super weed head. But he said he took, you know, two puffs, and he couldn't hang with Snoop Dogg. So Snoop Dogg must have this THC, right, this weed with the THC, which the, you know, what's his name, Cat must have the old stuff. Snoop must have the new stuff, because Snoop stuff was rock Cat's world, right? And Cat is a weed smoker. The popularity of edibles also increases the chance of harmful reaction, they say. So the edibles is like gummies. I think they got CBD gummies. You eat them. They take a longer time to digest and produce the high. Therefore, many people consume more to feel the effects faster, leading to dangerous results. So you don't know what you're doing, which that happens with a lot of people. That can happen to any drug, right? We know that, right? So if you're eating this stuff, you gotta wait time. Anyway, higher THC levels may also mean a greater risk for addiction if people are regularly exposing themselves to high doses. Now, they had another word instead of, I noticed that they avoided the word addiction for the most of the part in my research. Right? So, physical effects. Got a list of those. As to be expected, breathing problems. Irritating the lungs. Daily cough, phlegm, right? We talked about that. Increased heart rate. May increase the chance of heart attack. Problems with child development during and after pregnancy. One study found that about 20% of pregnant women 24 years old or younger screened positive for marijuana. What's up with that? 20% of pregnant women 24 years old or younger screened positive for marijuana. Maybe it's me. So like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. But does it make sense to smoke while you carrying a child? How was that good? They say women, the study found that women were about twice as likely to screen positive for marijuana use via a drug test than they state in self-reported measures. So they're not honest about, women are not honest about their marijuana use, pregnant women, right, or women are not honest about the marijuana use. So this suggests that self-reported rates of marijuana use in pregnant females is not an accurate measure of marijuana use and may be underreporting their use, you think? Marijuana use during pregnancy is linked to lower birth rate. Marijuana use during pregnancy is linked to lower birth weight. Increased risk of both brain and behavioral problems in babies. Bam! Now the wheels start turning in my head. Wow. So we got generations of people who smoke weed, women who smoke weed while they're carrying, right, while they're pregnant. So what if these kids are coming into the school system? So what do you do with a kid who has brain and behavioral problems as a child, as an infant, due to his mother's marijuana use? Is that what people are seeing? Is that what we're seeing on the streets? Is that why there's so much marijuana use? Because they are predisposed to marijuana from their parents using while they were in the womb, right? I'm just trying to, you know, figure it out, because it sounds like a connection here or something that could explain some of the behaviors we see in the community. Brain and behavioral problems. So, you know, if you have brain problems, you might have problems solving problems. You might have a more primitive brain in terms of how you respond to conflict, problems, and things like that. The drug may affect certain developing parts of the fetus brain. Certain parts of the brain just won't be developed as it should, right? Children exposed to marijuana in the womb have increased risk of problems with attention, right? Memory and problem solving compared to unexposed children. Some research also suggests that moderate amounts of THC are excreted into the breast milk of the nursing mothers. With regular use, THC can reach amounts in breast milk that could affect the baby's developing brain. So, I don't know if you noticed, but they mentioned this brain thing, right? And I don't know if how the brain responds to that, recuperates from this here, but why do you do that to your kid? So could exposure to marijuana account for some of today's children and students' inability to remain in class, behave in class, in the community, and resolve conflict without becoming emotionally and physically aggressive? Could that be one of the things that have impacted on our community? Because we smoking is a little different now. Because back in the day, you didn't hardly see people smoking weed outside. Now they just light up on a porch. Kids light up in front of adults, walking down the street. Cars are lit up. Places that shouldn't be lit up are lit up. So are we dealing with children, young adults who were predisposed, were exposed to marijuana, THC, say, in the womb, and therefore they have this predisposition to use it or need to use marijuana? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. I didn't get that far in my research. But could we? Like my friend said, you know, marijuana did not impact on everyone the same way, which opens the door for the idea that it may impact, it may impair the mental capacity of some and enhance the mental capacity for others, even though I doubt it because it damages the brain. So are we that different? Are people that different that some people, it enters the brain and all of a sudden they down there in a state of genius, and other people down there in a state of stupor? They can't find their way to class. They can't find their way to school. They can't get up. They don't deal with conflict well. I don't know. That's a serious gap right there. So reports of death related to vaping. So they're talking about several people died. I'm not, one people died is bad. So several, that is bad too. But I'm, you know, just looking at how people die from other drugs, seven is not as bad as some of the deaths we have, like from, you know, fentanyl use, right? I was talking about any other alcohol and things like that, right? I'm going to mental effects because I'm thinking just from reading and researching that we might be witnessing the effects of drugs on the fetus, the brain of the fetus. Take that with the violent cultures in these communities. Right, and you—is that what we're looking at? Long-term marijuana use has been linked to mental illness in some people, such as temporary hallucinations, temporary paranoia, worsening symptoms in patients, schizophrenia, a severe mental health disorder with symptoms such as hallucinations, paranoia, and disorganized thinking. Marijuana use has also been linked to other mental health problems such as depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts among teens. However, the study finding have been mixed, and that's what I've been saying, because it's like, yeah, some people saying they use it for that. But the same thing they just said, that problems, they saying they use it for that, the depression, anxiety. And I'm curious as to how they come up with two very, very different studies with the same drug. How does marijuana affect a person's life? Compared to those who don't use marijuana, those who frequently use large amounts report the following: lower life satisfaction, poorer mental health, poorer physical health, more relationship problems. Okay, then that's seem to be having that. I don't know. People also report less academic and career success. I'm just saying the shoe seems to fit and what's going on all over the country with this education and how students' truancy, cutting, academic failure and things like that. Then are these kids, I don't know if it happened enter your uterus or when they were born, but can marijuana be one of the culprits here that impairs education? And I'm not blaming solely on marijuana, because like I said, you are the gateway. When you talk about protective capacity, parents have a duty, a natural and a constitutional duty to guide the life of the child, which means you have a responsibility, child, in the direction of things that are going to improve their life and quality of life. So from what I'm getting, marijuana does not do that. It's going to impair the brain. They talk about the gateway drug, which I personally don't believe in gateway drugs. There's only one way, that's you. So you got a thing the Creator gave you, which what we call a will. You have the will to go against the Creator, to do things the Creator tell you not to do, to do things that in nature tells you, hey, what are you doing? Right? You got the will to break the law. You have the will to, do all these other things. So use your will to do the right thing. So it depends on your will, what you will. If you allow yourself to use marijuana, you will suffer the consequences of using marijuana. Maybe you escape that. I don't know. Maybe some people are more susceptible to the diseases and, things that marijuana causes, right? And maybe they catch up to other people farther down the line in life. Some people get it on their first tote. Some don't get it to their 1 millionth tote. I don't know. But a person, can you overdose on marijuana? This might be, guess you can have too much of anything, right? But there are no reports of teens and adults dying from marijuana use. I'm going to give that a plus for marijuana, right? Your kids smoke the ounce, probably not going to die, right? Marijuana products are high in THC levels. Nobody has been pronounced dead because of that. Some feel very uncomfortable with side effects. People have reported symptoms such as anxiety, paranoia, and in rare cases, extreme psychotic reaction, right? That include delusions and hallucinations. So, if you're having a psychotic episode, that's how you get into your 302 and your 201s, right? If you have the state of mind to put yourself in somewhere, it'd be a 302 if you're not, right? While a psychotic reaction can occur following any method of use, they say any method of use, that's smoking, eating, or vaping, right? Emergency room responders have seen increasing numbers of cases involving marijuana edibles. So the edibles, they take long to get to the bloodstream. And they say that some people, especially preteens, who know very little about edibles, they don't realize it takes a longer time, as I said in the beginning. And they just load up to get that effect. And they end up in the emergency room. So edibles, look, I don't suggest you use it. But if you are, remember, it's 30 minutes before you start feeling that, that good feeling that you're looking for. You got a good 30 minutes. Sit back, relax, and don't eat any more edibles, right? Is marijuana addictive? Marijuana can lead to the development of a substance use disorder. a mental illness in which the person is unable to stop using, even though it is causing health and social problems in their life. Severe substance use disorders are also known as addiction. So, and they just say addiction, I don't know, but they're implying that you can be addicted to marijuana, right? Between 9 and 30% of those who use marijuana may develop some degree of marijuana use disorder, right? Marijuana before the age of 18 or people who use marijuana before the age of 18 are 4 to 7 times more likely than adults to develop marijuana use disorder. Many people who use marijuana long-term are trying to quit. They report mild withdrawal symptoms to make quitting difficult. That sounds like addiction to me, right? Grouchiness, sleepiness, decreased appetite, anxiety, cravings. What treatments are available for marijuana use disorder? As my friend Katenji used to say, what can you do? No medications are currently available to treat marijuana use disorder, but behavioral support has been shown to be effective. Examples include therapy, motivational incentives, providing rewards to patients who remain drug-free. So, if you have a medical card, go on the back of your medical card, go to mental health, schedule a mental health evaluation, going to detox somewhere, go inpatient, get yourself cleaned up, get that direct support that you're going to need to deal with your addiction. THC overactivates the vein and cell receptors. Remember that. Altered senses, change in mood, impaired body movement, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, impaired memory and learning. So, doesn't sound like it's a good idea, right? And we're running out of time. So I just want to say, in terms of this marijuana, because I see a lot of marijuana use, especially, particularly among the youth. As a matter of fact, I know Snoop Dogg, every time I see him on YouTube, he's lighting up a spliff or something, got a bogey in his mouth. And these other guys, I see these young boys from Chicago. Particularly, it's not really not a whole lot of them. This one guy, particularly, he's lighting it up. He got something in the mouth, and he tasted something. So I don't know, sounds like we need some rescuing, but in our case, seems like we're gonna have to rescue ourselves. Nobody's gonna come save us. All right, so it sounds like we got a lot of deep diving to do in our souls. See if we can come up with, right? And as for recreational use, I say don't use drugs. As for recreational use, I say don't use drugs. Use your brain. Substance use is substance use. You are the gate, the door to anything you choose to do. Make the best decision for you. That's all I'm going to say for you folks tonight. And I want to, I mean that. Do your own research. You don't have to take it from me. I'm not trying to beat nobody up about marijuana use, CBD use, THC use, anything like that. It's make the best decision based on the information in front of you. So, till next week, I want to thank all my callers, everybody who downloaded the show. Well, thank you all for listening in tonight. I hope I was able to reach someone, give people information that they can use. Because I sure enough can use the information myself. I don't indulge in marijuana or nothing like that, but still information helps me understand what I'm looking at. So until next week, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, the creator, and everybody who called in and listened and downloaded again. See y'all next week. Remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Court from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.